Good morning. A few announcements. First, take your red pad, sign it, and pass it down, and look for who is not here. I think the snow scared a lot of people off this morning. I got up, didn't realize we were having this little bit of a snowstorm. I didn't anticipate it, so I was trying to hustle getting my driveway done. As I tell you, it goes straight down, and I have to get all the snow off because the sun comes out, it melts, and it packs down the ice, and I can't drive up and down it. So it's kind of a big hassle for me. Before I do the other announcements, I want to talk for a moment about the Bible. It starts on March the 3rd, if you can see that date. You can see it better on the other screen. It's a mini-series, five-part, starting Sunday night on the History Channel at 8 o'clock. And I believe it's on Lifetime, too. You can check on that on your local channels, but I know it's on the History Channel at 8 o'clock. It'll culminate on Easter Sunday, that night at 8. I got some materials in. I watched the trailer on it and a clip that I will be showing. I'll be showing some clips during the sermons. The longest one is 6 minutes. The shortest one is about 3 minutes, interspersed with some sermons for 5 weeks as I preach on a series entitled Journey From, and then each one will have a different designation on the end of the title. And from what I've seen of the movie, you know, sometimes you think, oh, Bible movie, how, you know, this could be kind of chintzy. This looks very, very well done. So I hope that you'll watch it and you'll watch the entire series. If you can't see it, maybe you want to T-bow it or however you do it. And later, this whole series, of course, will be on sale at your local bookstores and video stores and Amazon and those kind of things. I have no idea what the price will be. There's also a book that goes along with it, a novel that'll come out on February the 26th at your local bookstores. I think it'll be about $13 in paperback. So you may want to see that. And there's a study book that goes along with it. But I just got the material in, so I haven't had time to really look at that and see. So I'll look at it this week, try to tell if I think it's worth you having, and then we can put a sheet out next week if it is, and then try to do a quick last-minute order. I don't like to do things at the last minute, but this, if they don't send you the materials, you don't have a choice because they didn't ship. They had a certain shipping date. I wish they had could have done it a month ago when I ordered it, but that's just the way that it came out. And I don't think most people realize that that's what was happening. So I hope that you'll watch that and enjoy the sermon series. We're going to go through the entire Bible in 5 weeks. Remind you, the women's luncheon, Thursday, February the 21st. I'll be able to be at this one because Presbytery was this last Thursday, which I attended. We're having a lay Sunday, April the 7th, and you can talk to me or to Arlie about it, and maybe probably ought to put up a sign-up sheet, and so people can sign up for each category, and any if you wanted to preach the sermon, do prayer or confession, I'm glad to help you with anything. If you say, I'd like to do the prayer or confession, but I don't really want to write it, I can help you with that. You can lead in the Apostles' Creed or a Gloria Patri, any part of the service that you would like to fit in. I just think this is an outstanding opportunity for you to get involved in the service, and for as many of you as possible, you know, in preaching the sermon. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And it can be a short sermon, and believe me, people will love you for it. You know, it doesn't have to be long. If it's long, good. And then they'll love me maybe when I come back. I'll be here for that service that day, though. And you know about the prayer and praise request cards. And then Vacation Bible School, BJ, is looking at some material, and got something over the internet, a very interesting thing about a 3-day weekend Vacation Bible School. So church is looking at all kind of different ways to do Vacation Bible School. I've been doing a lot of reading about it, and a lot of churches are having difficulty with Vacation Bible School and young people because sports and the way our churches are in our new modern society. Things have changed so much in 20 years and 10 years, and especially the past 5 years. It's just unbelievable. At this Thank you. I forgot to mention that because PJ is going through her struggles and she's helping her with that. At this time, we're having a minute for mission. Call Arlie up.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm here to talk to you this morning just for a little bit about One Great Hour of Sharing. Those of you that have been with us for a while understand that this is one thing that Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church participates in every year. It's an offering, an annual offering that we collect that goes to different missions that the Presbyterian Church has chosen to support. And it's a one way that we as a church can really participate in our general mission. It's not something where we have a lot of funds that are designated, and a lot of people who give funds on a regular basis to the church don't designate those gifts for general mission. So the One Great Hour of Sharing collection is an opportunity for us to reach outside our little parish here, our little congregation, and do things outside in the big world. Just a little bit of information about One Great Hour of Sharing. There is a bulletin insert today, and there will be bulletin inserts throughout Lent, telling you about the different things that One Great Hour of Sharing supports. Today's talks about something very recent here in the United States, 2011, a village basically that was rebuilt after destruction in Texas through funds from One Great Hour of Sharing. One Great Hour of Sharing started after World War II in 1949 with a radio broadcast and was rebroadcast the next year for the first time in 1950 using the name One Great Hour of Sharing, and was ecumenical across all denominations, and it continues to be that way today, supported by the Jewish faith, the Catholic faith, many different denominations of the Presbyterian faiths. Each faith or church is able to designate funds wherever they want them to go, but it is an annual event that all Judeo-Christians actually participate in together. So that in itself, I think, is really something to be proud of. The funds are broken down from the Presbyterian Church. 36% goes to Presbyterian hunger relief, 32% to Presbyterian disaster assistance, and 32% for self-development and helping people turn their lives around and get things back on the right track. So I will be talking to you about it several more times, not every week, I promise, during Lent, and we will be taking up the One Great Hour of Sharing collection on Palm Sunday, which is March 24th. So I just ask that now during that Lenten season, if you could plan to make part of your Lenten sacrifice setting something aside for the One Great Hour of Sharing, so that when we take our collection in Palm Sunday, we will be able to make a substantial contribution. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlie. While she's going back to her seat at Presbytery, we had a speaker about One Great Hour of Sharing and a local thing that they do with the money. What was the last designation that you gave? It's called Self-development of people. There was a woman who spoke about it, an agency here in Pittsburgh, to help people get their books in order and help them start businesses. Some people had come to them, and she told the story of one lady who came. They had to really work with her, clean up her business, get her books in order, because she didn't really understand business principles, and they kept working with her for months, loaned her $1,000. The first year, she turned that $1,000 investment into her business to $99,000. Well, she would not have been able to do that or get that money from any other place but the Presbyterian Church with the One Great Hour of Sharing. And sometimes you think of these gifts just out there somewhere, but this was right here, just a few miles down the road, that it helped someone. And that just really blessed me, because even as a minister, I think of it, well, it's over in India or it's in Haiti, it's just somewhere, you know, it's kind of out there, but it's right here. So think about it that way. Yes. Visit Mary Ellen, visit all the shut-ins. You know. Okay. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, a great old standard, I have decided to follow Jesus, 376. Thank you. Now, we're going to continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for helping us deal with temptations. We worship you for allowing Jesus to feel the same emotions as us. We know he understands what it is to be human. Forgive us when we continue in sin after accepting your gift of salvation. Remind us that we are able, just as our Lord resisted. Help us to find a desire to read our Bibles. May we come to understand that there is power in the Word of God. Lead us into a life of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ Jesus we are forgiven. Let us once again unite in our faith through our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Remember, if you're not comfortable hugging or shaking hands, that's okay.
Yet was crucified.
Amen. Thank you. Very lovely. Our responsive reading is Obedience 631. Obedience. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it.
Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it.
But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. As the Lord has much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. We come to the pastoral prayer, and I don't think we had any. Oh, we did get some cards? Okay, good.
Good morning. We have some prayer requests this morning. Kathy Segi has asked that we pray for Austin, who is a friend of her daughter's, Kathy's daughter's. And he is being abused, and we pray that the action that has been taken will help him get the help that he needs. Kathy also asks for prayer for Sandy Salmon and her son George. Sandy's not feeling very well, and she has some pain in her shoulder. And George, who we know had surgery this week, did have some complications, so we pray for healing for both of them. We have a praise request. I think that's a prayer request for Jerry Gisler, and I think we're praying for him because he did have a fall from a 5-foot ladder. So, and that is Adele Miller has asked for that prayer, and we do have a praise request from the Board of Deacons. Happy birthday to Kathy Segi.
Thank you. And you can take a moment and peruse the back of your bulletin and remember these persons. And also I want us to remember Paul Kosherhook, who's had some tests done, waiting for the results. Hopefully they'll be in soon. And so prayer for good results on that. And I'll be doing a funeral in the morning at 11 at Neely for Mr. Ralph Crawford. You know, he was 91, passed away suffering from Alzheimer's, and I know his son Keith, and so they requested that I do it, so tomorrow at 11. And for all the persons not here this morning, some on vacation, some I guess felt the snow for whatever reason, a lot of sickness in the area, bronchitis and flu and different things going on, so I must be praying for those people. And for direction for our church, especially in youth matters, I think, right now, as we look around, not many youth here. What can we do to improve that? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This truly is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice and be glad within it. Sometimes that is not easy because the difficulties and the trials and the temptations of life assault us from many different directions and try to draw us and drag us down into depression and even into sin, to a life that we've risen from, and Satan would want us to go back into it. And that would only cause us more problems, more hurt, more pain, and not just for ourselves, but oftentimes for our family and our friends and even our places of employment and for our neighborhoods and for our church. So help us, Lord. Help us go to your word and fight temptations with the word of God. Help us to be strong. And help us to have friends and family members and church members that are willing to stand with us during times of temptation. Someone that we can truly trust to talk to that will help us, that will not gossip about what we're going through, but will help us to be strong. That will be a friend in Christ, a true friend, to lead us and help us maybe with the temptation. Maybe it's alcohol, or maybe it's we're about to go into an affair. Well, there's so many things. What might would it be in our own personal lives? Something small, something grand. But anything that we do to sin against you, we really don't want to do as Christians if we've been touched by your glory, your grace, by your Son, Jesus Christ. So help us this day, Lord, and help us help others. We lift all the persons who've been mentioned, illness, test results, things that we don't even know about, for our youth, also for our aged, for all of us. We pray for their health, their well-being, spiritually, mentally, physically, all areas. And we pray for Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, that you help us have a sense of unity. Help us be the church that you have called us to be. If we're in your way, help us to see that. Help us to find the direction that you truly want us to go. Help us, Lord. Guide us through the power of your Holy Spirit as you guided the saints throughout the Bible. Be with us in all that we do. And thank you for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, a contemporary, Step by Step. Thank you. Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. What it means for the world, salvation has come to us, eternal life. Only we will accept it and believe in you and take that gift. Lord, and when we do, you bless us so much with gifts, with power. You give us love and forgiveness and understanding and the Holy Spirit to help us. You give gifts to the church to use, not for our glory, but for yours. And I thank you for every person that is willing to use the gifts that you've given for your glory, to point others towards Jesus Christ so they can find the peace that passes all understanding and they can establish that relationship with you and feel your love. And we can all spend eternity together worshiping you and having peace and love. Thank you for that, Lord. Bless these people today. Bless us as a united church. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen. Thank you. They will come forth and read the scripture, which I forgot to send him, and he had to remind me from Luke. I'm always telling on myself.
Yeah, we all have our problems here.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Lent is a time of reflection and repentance for those times when we have been tempted and perhaps given in. But it's somewhat good to know that even Jesus was tempted by the devil. But he answered the devil using the sword of the word. In Ephesians 6:16 through 17, Paul advises us to take up the word as our sword, and our faith we should use as our shield. And in doing this, we will be protected from temptation. So listen to your personal message in Luke 4:1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil then led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Well, if you notice on the screen, I'm trying to listen to what people say. I'm lifting the words because of the glare, I'm trying to put it a little higher so the glare doesn't interfere. This one is still a brighter screen. Well, you know why I put an apple on the screen? Most people, at least in our American culture, talk about Adam and Eve and the apple that was eaten. When I was in Jamaica years ago doing missionary work, they don't have an apple. They use another fruit. So people have different interpretations in different areas of the world. Reverend John Jewell tells about a 2020 episode back, a while back, when some children about 4 years of age were forced to deal with temptation. They were left in a room. Sitting in front of them were two or three M&Ms on the table. They were said, "Don't eat those three M&Ms, and in about 5 minutes we'll come in and we'll give you a pack of M&Ms. Well, they watched through the two-way mirror. We've seen this on television. You know how the police look in at it. Well, some of the kids, they held off, and they got the reward of a full pack of M&Ms. But they all would sit there and twist their face and fidget and, you know, that candy, that M&Ms. Some, half of the group of children waited and got the pack of M&Ms. Half of the children could not wait 5 minutes, and they sacrificed and ate those two or three M&Ms. They wanted that instant gratification. To heck with it, they thought, I want what I want, and I want it now. We all know about that struggle, don't we? It might not be with M&Ms, but all of us have a weak spot somewhere in our lives. That's why it's so hard to judge other people. What might be a temptation for me might not be a temptation for you. That's why we can help one another, I believe, if we can trust one another. After his baptism, Luke tells us Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus had come off a spiritual high, had just been baptized by John the Baptist, and he was full of the Holy Spirit, feeling good about his life and about everything, feeling powerful. And that's when the tempter came. And that's so true of all of life, I think. You have a spiritual mountaintop experience. You feel closer to God and closer to others than you've ever felt before. And that is the time that you must beware. This is the time when you may be the most vulnerable to temptation, because you feel like you are superior and you feel like you can be above temptation. But the Bible says, take heed to stand unless you fall. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. For 40 days he was tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those 40 days. And at the end of them, he was hungry, and of course he was. He was vulnerable. A physical need needed to be met. So the devil said to him, if, two little letter word, if, conditional, if you are the Son of God. Placing a little bit of doubt, trying to place it in his mind. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Show your power. Let's see who you are. It was a reasonable request, because Jesus was hungry. He had power over nature. He had already proved that. He'd still the waters. And stones were abundant there in the wilderness. He could use his extraordinary powers to turn those stones into bread any time that he wanted to. But Jesus knew that that was not what the Father had sent him to do. His gifts were to be used to do the work of the Father. So Jesus answered, and I love this answer. It is written. Where is it written? It's written in the Scriptures. At that time, just the Old Testament Scriptures. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone. And that's true. Many people today have their physical needs met, but they're shriveling up and dying on the inside. They've got all the material things, all the luxuries of the best foods, the most expensive foods. Physical needs have an urgency, but spiritual needs are every bit as critical in our lives. Having failed to tempt Jesus with the stones to bread routine, the devil takes a different tack. He leads Jesus now to a high place and shows him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. So we don't think of the devil having power, but he does. And he says to him, I will give you all the authority and splendor because it's been given to me. We forget those places in the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, spelled with a little g. And I can give it anyone I want to, and if you worship me, it will all be yours. Who could resist getting that kind of power and authority and that status that would come with ruling all the powers, all the kingdoms of the world? You know what Alexander the Great wanted? And I hate it when we call him great. You know what Hitler wanted? It's every politician's dream. What politician doesn't want complete authority and power? To be a dictator. Jesus was offered all the kings in the world, all he would have to do is bow down to the devil. Just a simple little thing. Just bow down. Just bow down and worship me one time. But it was too high a price to pay, and Jesus answered. He just didn't ignore him. He confronted him. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil thinks to himself, rats, fall again. But he has one more weapon in his arsenal. The devil leads him to Jerusalem and has him stand on the highest point of the temple and says, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written. See, even the devil can quote scripture. The Bible can be used for good or for evil. It always has been. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You can go ahead and throw yourself off. You're not going to get hurt. The angels will catch you. You're the Son of God. And Jesus answered, do not put the Lord your God to the test. You do understand, don't you? This is exactly what Satan was doing. He was testing Jesus. That is what temptation is. That's really all it is. It is a test. Fail the test, temptation, and you become weaker in your spiritual life, and you will become ultimately miserable if you've got any kind of relationship with God. Pass the test, and you become infinitely stronger and closer to God. Jesus passed the test with flying colors. Then note Luke's words. When the devil had finished all of his tempting, he left him until an opportune moment had come. Satan wasn't finished with coming to Jesus. We just don't have all the stories. Has Satan finished with you? Has he quit tempting you? Have you risen to a place that you can just, no temptation whatsoever for me? I don't know anyone that's got to that point in their lives yet. May have gotten better, but none of us have arrived. We're beyond being tested or struggle somewhere in our life. Even something we think we've put behind us can crop back up if we're not careful. There's some things we're tempted we need to see. First is that temptation is universal. We joke about it. An unknown wit once said, most people who fly from temptation usually leave a forwarding address. Isn't that the truth? We're tempted with something. We sin. We do it. We say we're not going to do it again. And then we do it. And we usually do it then in secret. And we try to hide it from everyone. Then when we try to hide it from everyone, we get more guilt with it and becomes a bigger sin and more temptation, and it becomes worse and worse, and our spiritual life starts going down the drain further and further and further, and then begins harder to rise back up. Opportunity only knocks once. Temptation leans on the doorbell. It wants to keep coming after you. And temptation goes all the way back to the first man and woman, all the way back to Genesis, to the very start. And temptation is one of the inescapable facts of life. And it's really no joking matter, because it can destroy you. It can destroy your family. It can destroy a church. It can destroy a society. Peter Noem's popular author and one-time pastor of Harvard's Memorial Church once stated that temptation is the single greatest source of human anxiety. It's a dramatic statement. He further stated that that is in the thousands of people of whom he has counseled over the years. He had found the problem of temptation to be at the heart of their personal anxiety. And I was just dealing with someone with this yesterday. They're tempted, and they fall to that temptation, and then they're so guilt-ridden that they're turning away from God, but want to come to God, but they're turning away because of the temptation and the sin. Think about it for a while and you'll see that it's true. Think about the tests that you face every day at work, your family life, among friends, even the times within your church. And we're constantly making decisions at the heart of many of these moral decisions. Should we speak the truth when a falsehood seems the way to go? Get us out of trouble. I'll just tell this lie. That'll get me out of this fix. Won't it? Shouldn't I cut corners and maximize my profits? What is the harm in an innocent flirtation? I'm married. I'm not going to do anything. What if I just flirt? Can we stay on a diet? One drink won't hurt me. Just had an alcoholic tell me that. I don't think I'm really an alcoholic. That's the downfall of an alcoholic. I don't really think I'm an alcoholic. The Greek philosopher Plato once told a story about a carriage with his mighty steeds going along a road. And they're going at a pretty good pace, and he's got the reins, the man does, but he falls asleep. And the horses start going a little bit faster, but he's sound asleep. And the horses start going off the road, and they start going onto tough terrain. And there, in a short distance, is a cliff that'll fall off into an abyss, and he will die. And a man in the distance yells to him, and the yelling wakes him up. And he grabs the rein, and he reels the horses in, and they stop, and his life is saved. Plato says, the moral of the story is the horses, the fiery steeds, or the appetites, the desires, the lusts, and the passions of the heart that a human has an inclination to from our youth. The driver is the wisdom, the understanding, and the intelligence with which God has endowed human life, that we might rule over our appetites and our desires and have dominion over our self-destructive impulses. You have the power within you, if you have God in your lives and the Holy Spirit, to resist these temptations. But you have to have the desire to resist them. Yielding to them takes you down a path of destruction every time. Woe to us if we never hear the voice of conscience, the voice of God, telling us to wake up before we destroy our lives and possibly the lives of those around us. Yet with God's help, temptation is resistible. The biggest lie the tempter tells us is that we are helpless when faced with temptation, that we do not have enough strength to resist. Many of you remember and still know basketball great Charles Barkley. He's now a commentator, but when he was with the Philadelphia 76ers, he was known as the round mound of rebound. 6'5", 300 pounds. And his problem was he didn't really like to exercise, and he just liked to eat. He could sit down and just one little thing, eat a pound of M&Ms at a time. And some of you are saying, what's wrong with that? But they got a new conditioning coach, Pat Croce, or Croce, I'm not sure how you say it. And he wanted to condition the whole team so they could go out and win championships. But Barkley thought, you know, I'm 6'5", I'm already an all-star, I'm good, I don't need to do that. So he started exercising, you know, the other team was, but he didn't want to give up his eating. So Pat Croce, to help him, hit outside of his mansion, and Barkley had ordered two pizzas. Two! And when the pizza man came, he got the pizza man, took the pizzas from him, took one away completely, cut one in half, said, you deliver this, and if I catch you delivering any pizzas, you're going to be in for trouble. You can deliver him a half of a pizza. And that's all Barkley got for the rest of the time. He lost 50 pounds that season. He had someone to help him. And sometimes we need someone to help us. A friend, a spouse, someone that will be willing to be there with us. Wouldn't it be nice if we always had someone say, no, don't do that. But sometimes we have someone say, no, don't do that. We say, get off my back and leave me alone. Don't help me. It's my life. I'll do what I want to do. And then go down the path of destruction, and they often take others with them. That's the brilliance of Alcoholics Anonymous. Support. You get a sponsor, you call the sponsor anytime you feel like that you want to take a drink. The ones that work the program can stay sober. Those that don't work the program go back to drinking. Man yesterday was supposed to get his 90-day chip. A four-month chip, excuse me. He was going to lie to the sponsor. Someone convinced him to tell the truth. So he's starting all over again. Needed help. Ultimate key to lessening temptation, hold on your life, is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. To put God first. Pastor and author David Jeremiah states it like this: over time, I believe I've discovered that temptation isn't so much a matter of what we do, but of whom we love. Knowing Christ, really knowing Him, not simply knowing about Him, changes everything. And that's a problem sometimes. We know about Christ, but we don't really know Him. There's power in the name of Christ, and there's power in His presence as well. Worship and fellowship with God in the morning should make it difficult for us, if we've met Christ, to walk outside of these walls and begin to sin. We need to look into the Master's face. Yesterday, and I do it periodically, when I was thinking about this sermon, and I wanted to remind myself if Zenon still does it, because a lot of times I just sit, make him sit, and I give him his treats. But yesterday I put his treats on the floor. And I waited 30 seconds. Long time for a dog to wait, anybody to wait on a treat. And it doesn't matter if I do it with chicken or meat, or what I call as cookies, but they're health food treats. And he sat there. Who was he looking at? You'd think he'd be looking at the treat. Looking at my eyes. Never took his eyes off of my eyes. Not even for a second. I said, take a break. That's his command. Snapped up the cookie, got in position, looked in my eyes again. And we went through that four or five times until I told him, that's all. Then he took his break and he walked off. Because he knew to look into the Master's face. He knew that if he did that, he would be rewarded. He knew if he looked at that cookie, too much temptation, he would grab it. He'd be fussed at, it'd be over. He knew to look into the master's face. My dog is smarter than a lot of people I know, including me. Temptation is universal. Some temptations are deadly if they're not reined in. But with God's help, and sometimes with the help of a really close friend or a group, temptations can be resisted. And turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look into the face of the Master. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, 369, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Disclaimer, examples I was using in the sermon are not connected with our congregation in any way at all. So don't be saying, oh, let me figure out who that was. You can't, because they're not from here. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you go knowing, believing, that if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you know Him, that you can fight temptation. That Satan is out to destroy you, your life, your family, everything that you hold dear. But in the Word of God, there are scriptures. You can quote scripture. You can find friends. You can find counselors. You can find help. You can rise above the temptation. But never think the temptation is gone. Temptation will come back when you think you've nixed it. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.